I'm holding down the fort tonight for Mr. George Norrie. He'll be back on Sunday night. He's enjoying the holiday. I can't believe it's Thanksgiving holiday weekend already. It's almost over. I guess it's in the middle of it now. But we're broadcasting live from the WHAS studios in Louisville, Kentucky. Open lines is what's going on right now this hour, the last of it. And it's going to continue. We're going to be hitting the wild card line and going to Michigan when we come up next here on Coast to Coast AM. We're back on Coast to Coast AM with Open Lines. Connie Willis here, and we've been talking about Bigfoot and the extraterrestrial perspective or interdimensional perspective that Bigfoot might have. Lots of phone calls for this. I really appreciate that, and we got to get right to it. This guy, Steve, you've been hanging on for almost 40 minutes now. Thank you very much from Taylor, Michigan. Tell us your Bigfoot story.
Well, this happens back when I was just a young boy. I mean, I was staying at my grandfather's house down in Tennessee during 11 o'clock news for a whole week and up, but UFO sightings, and a few farm people and farmhouses claimed to see little gray creatures with big bug eyes, but I never thought much of it. And also had a lot of Bigfoot sightings in the Smoky Mountains, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, my mother was coming down from Tennessee to pick us up. She stayed a couple of days, and we're going back to Michigan, so I got to start school in the fall. This end of the August, summer. So she wanted to go over and visit her uncle, which is my grandfather's brother, my great uncle. So he wanted to go over there and visit before we left. So we went over there, and his wife was my great uncle was going to, his wife's going to make a blackberry cobbler. So he's going to fix some blackberries. So we're out there about 100 yards away from the house. And so my uncle Marion was telling my grandfather, he says, "John, I want to tell you something that happened 2 days ago. You're not going to believe it. You think I've lost my mind." He had said, "Okay." I said, "So anyway, I'm listening to this because you're at that age. You don't, they're old Southern people. You don't just don't talk. You just listen." So anyway, he said, "I woke up 2 days before we got there." He says, "I woke up dead asleep. So I reached over. I'm going to have a cigarette." But he had a small house. And you look through the bed, one bedroom, look down, and the next is the living room right out the front door. So I reached over to get a cigarette off my desk there, nightstand. He goes, I looked down, and I seen this thing standing in my doorway. But he had this, it was summertime, screened indoor, stared at him. He said, "Oh, my goodness, what is this thing?" So he's telling my grandfather this. I'm just listening. And he said, "Oh, he had these red eyes burning right through me, staring at me." And you gotta, and his house is like on blocks, so it's like three tiers to get into his house. So it's about 3 foot. So, and he said it's about 6-8 inches below the door, and I figured out about 8.5 foot. But he said it was dark, black, real hairy from head to toe, had no neck, but he's distinctive with those red eyes. And he said I just stared there, looked for a minute, he stared at me, and I said, "Man, I got to do something." He goes, "I don't know, you know." So he reached over to get his M1, and it was gone. He said, just took off. Or we went outside and looked for it. And like you said about the dogs, my great uncle, he was a big outfitter. He hunted a lot of bears. He had bear dogs. He said, dogs didn't make a sound or didn't make a peep, you know. And my grandpa said, "What did it look like? Did it look like a gorilla or a monkey?" He says, "No, it had human features like a man." He goes, "But it just kept there staring at me, you know." And but this has been documented because a couple of months later, I don't think the magazine's still in existence, called Argus, and they had a front cover that said the Bigfoot of summer in the Smoky Mountains in the summer of 67. And I don't think the magazine company's still around, but they did an article on that. And I happened to buy it when I was back in school in Michigan, and somehow it came up missing. But that's about it. But I believe my uncle, and he don't lie about things like that, you know. But
did he, when he told that story, did he still seem as though he was just as afraid?
He was a tough mountain man. He lived in the Cherokee National Forest. He raised there. He was a true mountain man. He could live off the land, he says. And when he was telling the story, he was nervous, scared. Because he says, "I'm never afraid of no man or anything, to walk, crawl, or swim. I'm not afraid of nothing. But I was afraid of that," he said. I goes, "I didn't know what it was." I said, "Never seen it like that in my life." And my grandfather, "Well, it's the boogeyman coming and get you." And my grandfather always talked about when he was younger, people up in the mountains of Tennessee or in Cherokee, up in the Cherokee, North Carolina area, he says, people claim to see the boogeyman and chase him, you know, out of the mountains back to wherever, you know. But I just took it for a grain of salt, you know.
You know, mountain men, they're smart. They know real living. They know, you know, they know life. And did he ever mention anything about what he thought about the dogs being so quiet?
He could never figure it out. He goes, his dogs are vicious. I mean, they were meant to train to hunt bears. He said they just cowed down. They didn't make a sound. And he went out there to look around. Of course, it was hard ground. He said, I didn't find no footprints or nothing. But, you know, when he was telling the story, you could see the nervousness in his voice, because I never seen Marion when I was when I remember when I was a young man. He wasn't even afraid of nothing. But he was telling that story, he was scared. You could tell in his voice.
I understand. I've heard him myself and told him, too. Steve, thank you very much for calling and letting us know your story. Love to hear this. We're going to go east of the Rockies now to Mike in Wisconsin with another Bigfoot story for us. Hey there, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I've never been on the radio or anything like that, and I'm calling about this. We live out in a small community, and, you know, it's bigger now and stuff like that, but, you know, back then and stuff like that, this is kind of difficult to talk about and stuff like that, but when I was a kid, you know, I was like 4 or 5 and woke up in the middle of the night, heard a clatter down in the kitchen. I go downstairs, and we live out in the middle of nowhere and small farming community. I go downstairs in the kitchen, and here is this, you know, little, you know, what I would call a monkey now, say, like a chimpanzee, sitting in the kitchen. And here, all the cabinets are tore up, everything like that. And I look at this thing, and I'm like, you know, kind of awestruck, you know, I'm like, well, what the hell is this? And then I look to the right, and then here's this creature, taller, you know. Here, the thing was slumped over in our kitchen, and we live out in the middle of nowhere. I know this sounds hard to believe.
No.
I seen it, and it was there, and here, I mean, literally, the whole kitchen, everything was tore up and stuff like that, and, I mean, that's basically it. I mean,
was it like mama and baby?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
What happened after you looked at them and they were looking at you? Did they run?
When I sat there and I seen what was the, you know, what I thought was the mama or whatever and stuff like that, I kind of, well, you know, here, I'm not a wimp or a little guy or anything like that. You know, I'm a big guy. You know, here, we live in a German community and stuff like that. And I passed out. You know, at that time, I was only like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh,
I mean, the thing was
right.
Huge. And, then, you know, the next morning, my mom got up and stuff like that, and I was still laying on the kitchen floor. All this stuff is out all over the place, and my mom's like yelling at me and screaming at me, you know, why would you do this and stuff like that? And I tried explaining to her, I didn't do this.
Isn't that something that you... Who's going to believe that story, right? Yeah, no, you did this last night, and you know you were on the floor, the kitchen floor of this mess. I can see her perspective as well.
Yeah, I mean, here I didn't even speak English till I was like 8 or 9, and when this happened, you know, you know, here, living out there and stuff like that, you know, here during the summers, and it happened during the summer, and here with the crop rotation and stuff like that, you know, here people had other farms, other places than what we lived. So all of a sudden, you know, people rotated to other farms, and, you know, we had different properties and stuff like that. So I was probably the only, you know, the kid within like 5 miles, because everybody was gone from that area at the time. And,
did you ever tell anybody this story?
I told my wife. I told my wife, I tried to tell my mom, and she never believed me, and she told me, don't talk about it, just let it go, don't talk about it and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, here, I tried telling my wife a couple of years ago about it, and I don't think she wanted to believe me either, but it really shook me up about it. And,
yeah, you can hear it still in your voice now. Do you ever go Bigfooting to see if you might find, you know, is the mystery in you?
No, ma'am. As a matter of fact, I don't live out in the rural country anymore, but I live in a more populated place. I served in both, you know, both wars and stuff like that. And, you know, here, it makes me feel more comfortable sleeping somewhere where it's more populated, because then I feel like nothing will come around. It sounds stupid, and but yeah, I know what I saw, and it was there.
Right.
It wasn't a dream. Yeah, it was there.
Well, I thank you for the courage to tell that story. I guess you've only told three people, and we were the third, so thank you very much for having the courage to tell that story. And we're on your side. You have a lot of other people that can back up what you've said and what you've seen. And, it's interesting that you got to see a child, because I've met a few people that have seen what they believe is a baby Bigfoot. And so that's kind of a rare thing. So, very interesting story, and the fact that afterwards, you know, he woke up and they were gone. He wasn't harmed, and of course, it does kind of have a funny flair that the mama would be like, "Yeah, right." And that's how it happens with these stories when you tell these stories. Well, thank you again, Mike, from east of the Rockies there in Wisconsin. Well, we're going to go to the wild card line. Lots of people calling in with this. I love it. AJ, Port Angeles, Washington. AJ, do you have a Bigfoot story for us? Oh, sorry, we've lost that call here. We're going to go to, let's see here. Do we got David here? Who do we got? We can go west of the Rockies, Loretta in Modesto, California. You got interesting illness?
Yes. Good morning.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Connie.
You're great.
Yes, back in the 60s, after I'd gotten out of military, I was a telephone operator. And one day, while I was there at the board working, I must have blacked out, because when I came to, I was saying thank you to someone and had finished all the calls. No one seems to believe this, but it does happen, and I know there's lots of others with it. I can do items, black out, and the longest I've ever been out is 2.5 months.
Whoa.
Paid my bills and everything.
Okay, wait a minute. You're saying that you can just black out?
Mentally, but not physically.
And you still are in like an automatic pilot where you get things accomplished?
Yes. At this time I was out for the 2.5 months, I even saw a doctor.
What did he say?
He was a neuropsychiatrist. He didn't even believe it. Then he gave me what he called a lie detector test, and he says, try and find out what it is. I have no idea. Now a doctor has stated possibly it's a transglobal amnesia. And hardly anyone's ever heard of that.
And you've never hurt yourself? You can still drive?
No.
No.
So I don't drive now.
Okay.
But because I'm over 70. But, yes, it is very rare, and there's got to be lots of others who have got the same thing, but I can't find them.
Well, hopefully they've heard you, and maybe we can help each other out that way.
Have you ever heard anything like this?
No, I've never heard of anything like that. I've heard of things where, you know, people black out, like missing time. Do you think it's something like missing time, abductions, ET kind of related?
Maybe, because I don't know. I know it's something causes it. Mentally, something causes it. One day my husband let me out downtown, told me he was leaving us.
Oh.
I remember getting out of the truck. I remember every bit of it. I then went into a store, or went up to the front of a store. Whenever I came to, I was at another store.
Well,
nobody seems to believe it.
Well, you went to a doctor, took the lie detector test. There's got to be something to it. I would say keep going to that doctor, see what you can find out, and hopefully...
He passed away quite a few years ago, or else I'll guarantee you I'd still be going to. Ralph Layden, he was a neuropsychiatrist, but he was a terrific doctor.
Well, hopefully you can find a protege of hers or of his, Loretta. And, hey, keep us posted and let us know if you do find out some sort of answer. That's Loretta from Modesto, California. If anybody has an answer to that, let us know. It's all about finding out the answers and connecting the dots and making it safe for you to call and tell us those types of things. So thank you for that call. And, again, having the courage to do that. Wild card line 3, Jack in San Diego, California. Hey there, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
You got a Bigfoot story for us? What do you got going on tonight?
Okay. This is very interesting because I live in an urban area, and there's an area in San Diego called Balboa Park. It's a really big park, and there's two sections to it. There's the main park, and then east of the park, there's an area called Morley Field, and there's a road that connects the two. And when you drive down this road, it's kind of like a ravine, and it's wooded on both sides with a lot of pine trees. So I was driving down the ravine, and out of the woods, all of a sudden materializes. I see something like a transparent thing, and it became like a Bigfoot. It materialized. It ran across the street in full materialization. I slammed on my brakes, and then it ran across the street into the woods on the other side, and then just kind of slowly dematerialized and disappeared into the woods.
Well, we continue to hear this story.
Yeah, and I never heard of that happening before. I had heard of Bigfoot, and I didn't know. And then one day I was taking a workshop at my church. I go to a church that's metaphysical. And there was somebody there that had gone to a UFO workshop. And I told him about this. And then he kind of confirmed with me that this happens. You know, this is very common, that they are actually interdimensional beings. And I was like, okay. So.
and now you can agree to that. You have seen it for yourself.
Absolutely.
Wow. Jack, thank you very much for that. Yeah, we keep hearing these stories. Interdimensional, extraterrestrial, just materialize, and then poof, go away too. Wow. Jack from San Diego, thank you very much for that. We have more people on the line telling us their Bigfoot ET stories, and hopefully you can as well. We've got one more segment coming up before the end of the open lines, but hey, it continues here, and thank you very much on Coast to Coast AM. Flying robots to start serving in restaurants by the end of 2015. You want to learn more about that? Well, go to coasttocoastam.com and you can read that in the news. Wonder if you have to tip those guys. Huh. Lots of information there. And hey, open lines continuing here on Coast to Coast AM. Give us a call. We're going to be heading out to Chicago and talk to Mary when we come back. Right around 600 radio stations across North America, you're listening to Coast AM. Thank you. It's our final segment of our open lines, and we're going to go right back to it, talking about Bigfoot and weird, crazy things that are even extra-dimensional or extraterrestrial and interdimensional. Maybe that's a new way to say it, too. Mary in Chicago, you've been hanging out for a while there. Mary, what story do you have for us? And thanks for holding so long.
Oh, thank you, Connie. My story sort of, I think, falls into interdimensional. Not sure. I was visiting my mother in Missouri, who's on a farm, and I was doing dishes. Everybody was asleep. There's a huge pole light between the house and a barn. It's a garage barn, but it's huge. And it's I'd say it's 60 to 80 feet away. So all that's in between me and the sink and the side of the barn is a pole light. So I'm doing dishes. I look up, and I notice like a perfect square on the side of the barn, about 7 feet square, I'd say about 6 feet up off the ground. And I look at it, and I just look, and all of a sudden, all that goes through my head, and it's not a voice, but it's just what happened, is you don't need to see this.
Ooh.
And it was very, I wasn't afraid, but it was menacing. So I went in the living room and sat down and turned the TV on. And then I'm sitting there and I went, what the heck was that? So I go back, it's still there. And I keep looking out the window, it doesn't change, it's a completely dark, coal black. You can't see the side of the barn through it. So this happens about 3 or 4 times where I keep looking at it and a voice or something tells me, don't look at this. Go away. And so then I went back in the living room, forgot about it, and watched TV for about a half hour, went back to see if it was there, and it was finally gone. Being a country girl, I turn on all the lights and go outside.
Agreed.
What the heck is between the light and the barn? Because there's no object that will cast any kind of a shadow. To this day, no idea. All that's between it is grass.
So
I told this to my family. They all think I'm crazy. And I'm like, I know what I saw, and I know what I felt, and it wasn't voices in my head. Something said, you don't need to see this, and you better go away.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know where to put it, but it's sort of synergistic when you're talking about interdimensional beings. I'm thinking,
sure,
maybe it was a doorway.
Okay. I was going to ask, what did you think? So you said it was a rectangular shape, correct, or square?
No, it was completely square, and while I was waiting to talk to you, I sort of paced out how big it was. It was about 7 feet square.
Did it actually touch the ground, or was it
no,
up from the ground?
It was it was about 6 feet up off the ground.
Woo!
A totally black square where there was no shadow at night from a pole light. And I cannot explain it in any way at all. And I went out the next day and tried to look at the paint, see if, you know, someone pulled a trick on me but we're talking the middle of the country. I would have heard a car or people, and there were dogs too. The dogs didn't wake up. Nothing woke up.
Did it move at all, or it stayed stationary the
whole
time?
No, it was stationary the whole time. It kept being in the exact same place that I saw it the first time.
The more interesting thing... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it was just the whole thing took about an hour and a half.
So that whole time you saw it and you were kind of like, whatever. Looked again, something's telling you.
I didn't even have a thought in my head. As soon as I saw it, I just would leave the kitchen and go sit down in the living room and watch TV. And then I would like sort of remember that this thing was on the side of the garage, and I'd go back and see if it was still there, and it was still there. And then I'd have the same thing happen again, like this feeling of like, don't look at this, but it wasn't for me. I was totally curious about it. I wanted to look at it.
It reminds me of people that talk about extraterrestrial type things, that they will see things, but they're told not to remember it. Just like the Men in Black kind of do that, where you're going to forget this thing. And it's almost like you were conscious enough to hear that.
I wrote it down because I thought I was losing my mind. So
yes, sure.
A note about it, and I have it documented. It was in 2004. It was May 19th, I believe.
Well, you got neat messages sent to you, but something was protecting you as well. They were protecting you from seeing what it was, so who knows what that means, but it seems like they were protecting you as well.
Yeah, I wasn't ever afraid.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid. Anyway, I know you have more callers. So
no.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, I love to hear this.
Someday somebody else will have a story like it. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure. Mary, thank you so much. We appreciate that. And it's again, it takes courage to tell some of these stories. First time caller, Randy in West Virginia. Randy, how are you?
Hello. I got a story about my twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in the country. He lives in the city. And his upstairs is haunted. His son died of an overdose.
Mm.
And he would sit at the bottom of the steps. And my twin brother Raymond would say, "What are you sitting there at the bottom of the steps for?" He said, "There's something up there, and it scares me." He thought maybe Travis was on drugs or something. He's hallucinating. Well, then lights kept flickering on and off. And then his daughter come and stayed with him a night. And things went across the room and this and that. It run them out of there. And then his other daughter was up taking a shower. And she screamed out. My twin brother ran up the steps. And he tried to open the bathroom door. It wouldn't open. There's no lock on it. So he couldn't figure out why he couldn't open. But he took a picture. Or she did while she's in the shower. She opened the curtain and she took a picture with her cell phone. And she got three faces on the mirror.
Ooh, you know that you can post those pictures on coasttocoastam.com. That would be great to see what you're talking about.
Well, just three heads in the mirror itself. But my twin brother, something come down the steps. You can hear it going up and down the steps of the night. You can hear the weight of whatever it is.
Mm.
He said he woke up one night and looked in front of the door. He said there was. Looked like a Bigfoot to him. It was gigantic. He said it must have weighed 500 or 600 pounds. Had a great big teeth. So I didn't believe him. So I went to his house and I said, "Well," I started making fun of the spirits, you know, upstairs. I was teasing the kids because he's keeping two of his children, his grandchildren. I said, "I'm gonna get the boogeyman to come down and get you." Then the lights went off there. And then when I come home, I had a wall in my room. I don't know if one might have hitched a ride or what the heck went on there, but it's been worse, and I worry about him.
Ooh, well, I can see why. And, Randy, I'm not sure if that's your phone or that we're hearing making that noise. A lot of times when some of these stories are told, these types of things happen. But because of that, we do want to thank you for your story, and I kind of wish I would have got to talk to him a little bit more to ask him if, through the twin connection, if he was also feeling what his twin felt when he was away and that was happening. Thanks for giving us what you could there, Randy, before we lost you. We want to go east of the Rockies with continue with the open lines. Preston in Cincinnati, Ohio, got a Bigfoot story for us, eh?
Yes, I do, and I'm going to talk quick because I know you're almost out of time.
You got it.
this happened in 2005, okay? And at the time, I wasn't listening to Coast to Coast yet, so I was real ignorant to Bigfoots. I just naturally assumed that they, you know, from what I heard, they lived in the Pacific Northwest, and they were herbivores and all that type of stuff. Well,
right.
I used to be a garbage man. So in 2005, I had a garbage route over in Indiana. It was a state route that ran, like, parallel with the Ohio River. Okay, that's more information I know now. So this one morning, it's just before sunlight, but it's enough light where I guess it's considered, just before dawn. But, you know, it's just enough light so it's not dark. I'm dumping some trash, and I look, catch my eye, like maybe a quarter of a mile up the road. I see out of the clearing, I heard a deer just come tearing out of the clearing towards the road. So I'm looking at him. And I've hunted before, so I know what it looks like when deer are being driven. So as they approach this state route, it's not so much busy, but it's like a 60-mile-an-hour route. So traffic, when it does come, it comes fast. Well, these deer could get to the road, and they're just running across the road with no regard for traffic. So I'm thinking, like, well, they're more scared of whatever's chasing them than getting hit by a car. So I'm looking at deer, and then I, out the corner of my eye again, I guess, I see the trail deer, and I see something coming out the woods chasing it. And you know how you try to, when you see things that you don't know, your mind tries to rationalize what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing this huge black creature chasing this deer, and I'm like, okay, that's a bear, but bear don't run on 2 feet, okay? And just as they get to the edge of the road, it swipes and clips the back of this deer, sends it like a helicopter spinning. I mean, it knocked this deer across the road. I'm still dumping trash. And the way this road is, it's kind of an undulating road, so it's just over the rise. So, like, I can see, like, maybe, like, waist up what's going on. So it takes me maybe about 5 or 10 more minutes to work a couple more trash stops to come over that rise and see. So I look over to the side of the road, and I see that dead deer with his neck, like, twisted like a dish towel, like his neck had been broken. And one of his hindquarters was missing, like a Thanksgiving turkey, like how you would just take the turkey leg. Something had torn the hindquarter of the deer out from the socket, like it was a turkey leg.
Wow.
And for about 5 years, I just tried to dismiss that as I don't know what I saw, but, you know, I know it wasn't a Bigfoot because Bigfoots aren't in Indiana. So I started listening Coast to Coast and about, this was like 2010, 2011, and one of the first shows I heard was a Bigfoot researcher. And he gave me a lot of enlightening information about Bigfoots that, you know, according to everything he knows, that they're omnivores. And that one of the kinships they have with the Indians because they both hunted deer. So all this is coming to my head now, and I'm just like, wow, I saw a Bigfoot kill a deer in 2005.
Yeah, you saw, you know, you hear so many stories of Bigfoot love deer. They like deer. Wherever you're going to see deer, there's going to be Bigfoot. You know, it's part of what they feed on. And you actually saw it taking its meal.
And you know what? I'm very into nature. And I'm mad at myself because had I had the understanding that I had, you know, and I knew what I was watching, I mean, that was kind of one of those, what do they call it, a life-altering experiences. And I'm mad that I really couldn't appreciate it because my mind dismissed it as being something else. But, you know, it just goes to show you, like, believe what you see. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And because you don't hear about something and don't believe it, believe your eyes. You know, and from that point on, whenever I hear anybody tell any type of a crypto story, I always take with a grain of salt because I remember what I saw in 2005.
Yeah, and you know, to make up these stories and tell people is, you know, I mean, I don't know what anybody would get from that anyway, but these stories, you can't even make them up. I mean, you know, a Hollywood writer to write what you said you saw, you know, people go, yeah, right. But you actually saw that. You're telling the story. And you just can't make that stuff up. You just can't make it up.
It makes sense because on this note, if you think about it, we get the name Sasquatch. Okay, that's a very, very old Native American name. We get the name Sasquatch from the Native Americans. And we are quick to dismiss history. We call it mythology. You know what I'm saying? And it's actually a lot of times, you know, Indians weren't privy to making up stories. You know what I mean? So when, I guess, explorers start relating to them, what they were saying, they're like, oh, yeah, that's the Sasquatch. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's, you know, we ought to start listening a lot more to Native Americans when it comes to North America because they were here first. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
they've been seeing things a lot longer than we have.
They talk about them like. They talk about them like they're magical. Well, let me ask you before you get off the line.
Okay.
After seeing this, and even though you weren't educated about it, I mean, hey, you still got to see something that people never get to see that are totally educated as much as they possibly can on it. So this is good. So it certainly got you into it. So since then, how often are you learning about it, looking into it, or even do you ever go out searching with people?
Well, I'll be totally honest with you. Like I say, I love nature. You know, I've just grown up with a passion for nature. What I saw, you know, there may be a mystical aspect of it and everything, but what I thought I saw was this thing is an apex predator also. And that's what I saw in motion. I didn't see anything disappear. Didn't see any UFOs. I saw something that could have been on a National Geographic special, you know, showing like predation. I mean, because this thing, like I said, I've never seen anything. Well, I've never seen anything that big, period. But to be moving as fast as this thing was moving, I think that's what I take from it, is how fast this thing was running. You know, because deer aren't slow. And this thing overtook a deer. And, I mean, this wasn't a little fawn. I mean, this was like an adult female. And this thing knocked this thing like 30 feet across the road like it was throwing a pillow. And so I respect them, but just like, you know, a brown bear, I respect brown bears, but I'm not really trying to go out in the woods looking for them.
That makes total sense. Preston, thank you very much for that story. And
okay.
I've never heard one like that one, that either. That was great. We thank you very much. Preston and everyone else, want to thank you very much for all your phone calls. We've had some great ones. Wow. Talking to Stan Gordon, expert with UFOs and Bigfoot and all sorts of other crazy things that people call him about and tell him what they see in the state of Pennsylvania. I got to meet him one time, and at that point I always wanted to get to do what we did tonight because he was the one that took that Bigfoot twist, you know, and said something new about it, and it made sense to why you don't ever find these creatures and why you don't see bodies. And it's always a little suspicious when you hear about them, when someone says they have a body. That's very suspicious to all of us that know about this kind of stuff. So thank everybody who did call in. And from I'm Connie Willis from the WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where we've been broadcasting live, my hometown. Big shout out to Bill May, Bill Gentry, Kelly Carls, Kirk Wesley, Dan Galante, Tricia Pepe. I hope I said that right, Tricia. She's helped me with phone calls tonight. Thank you very much. Tim Banal, Lex Lonewood, Stephanie Smith, Lisa Lyon, and Mr. Nori himself. Thanks for letting me take over for you tonight, and welcome back on Sunday. You enjoy your weekend. Hey, until next time, keep looking to the skies. Let me know what you might see of high strangeness. I'm Connie Willis, in for George Nori here tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Take care. Have a safe and happy rest of the weekend.